loan officers. Join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Kyle Hershey. I'm the COO of the Mortgage Calculator, joined here by President Nick Hershey and our sales manager, Jose Gonzalez. We are a lender specializing in non-QM loans. And what we do every Tuesday and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern is this loan officer training series where we go through a new loan training topic. Tonight's topic is going to be how to calculate self-employed borrower income when it comes to Fannie and Freddie. So definitely something that's a very popular topic that people need help with. Obviously, at the Mortgage Calculator, we have plenty of ways besides Fannie and Freddie that we can help self-employed borrowers. But tonight, that's what we're going to be talking about. So Jose, if you're ready, I'll go ahead and pass it over to you. Jose, 28 years of experience as a loan officer and a realtor, will take us into a deep dive into how to calculate self-employed borrower income.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us for tonight's training. This is definitely the topic that takes, I would say, besides learning our 5,000 plus products that we have, learning really how to do it is calculating self-employed borrower income. I remember back in the days, there was like that one loan processor that was the one that everybody would go to, take that processor, all of this tax returns for self-employed borrower, and then that poor processor would be sitting there calculating this for everybody. But the worst part about it was the poor borrower that had to wait for that income calculation to come back, right? Who knows how long that would take? That was like a black hole. Give it to the processor who's a specialist, and then maybe who knows when you would get your income calculation. Well, there's no real need to do that, right? We can all be trained to do it. Not that difficult. Just got to follow certain basic steps and certain basic documents. So let me go ahead and share with you what we got today, how to calculate self-employed borrower income for agency loans, specifically Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, right? So let's get right into it. So what I want to talk about here is a little bit more about the theory and the mechanics rather than actually start plugging the numbers into a worksheet, because we can all read the instructions on the worksheet. But let's talk about what are the key components of self-employed borrower income, because you need to know what you're working with, right? So key components, self-employment income is business profits and losses, tax returns, financial statements, and business sustainability. Those are the three topics really to be concerned about. So type of entity, right? You definitely got to determine first what business type we're dealing with so that we know what documents that we have to request from the borrower. So sole proprietor, right? That's our borrower who does not have any type of an entity. No LLC, no corporation, no S-Corp, no C-Corp, no nothing. They're just a sole proprietor. All you will need from them is their 1040, and the 1040 should have a Schedule C. You're going to review this Schedule C for non-recurring other income and non-recurring losses. Non-recurring means it's a one-time event, right? Another business type is, or entity type is, a partnership, right? Partnerships, you're going to have to review a 1040, a K-1, because a K-1 lists the distribution of the proceeds, the money, W-2s as applicable, 1065 if greater than or equal to 25% ownership in the partnership. Now, what do we have to consider? What are our important points here? Well, we need to make sure that the business has liquidity to support the income withdrawals. We need to show consistency of revenue and profitability. That's what we're looking for when we're looking at these numbers. Positive sales and earnings trend and the ability to sustain guaranteed payments. Should guaranteed payments be applicable? And then our next step up would be an S-Corp. an S-corp, which is a type of corporation, but an S-corp is a pass-through entity where the expenses and income of the S-corp pass through to the S-corp owners in their proportionate share. So for an S-corp borrower, you're going to review their 1040. You're going to review the K-1, the W-2, as applicable. 1120S, because if they have an S-corp, they're going to file an 1120S if they have greater than or equal to 25% or more ownership. That was the same as a partnership. For an S-corp in a partnership, the magic number is 25%. If you have 25% or more stake, then you are considered to have an ownership interest in the business. And then the final type of entity we would be looking at would be a C-corp. That's a true corporation, right? The C-corp is a true corporation. In order to use any income or losses from a C-corp, the borrower has to own 100% of the stock of the C-corp. That is the only way that you can consider any income that C-corp is generating, net income, or any net losses that C-corp is showing, is if the borrower is 100% owner of all of the stock. And then for the C-corp borrower, you'd be looking at a 1040, W-2 as applicable. And then if you determine that they are 100% owner of the stock, you would need the 1120 and the 1125E. The 1125E is just the document that states the percentage of ownership of the officers. Now, what do we have to take into consideration when analyzing the documents? So now we determined that we have to know what type of business entity we're dealing with so that we know what documents we have to ask for. And then when we get the documents, what do we have to do? Well, I've touched on this already. I'm going to touch on it again. You have to understand the income trends and determine if the income is regular and recurring. In other words, hopefully the business income is tracking in a positive direction, as in increasing, not declining. If it's declining, we have a serious problem. And then you have to see if the income noted, net income, is a recurring income or a non-recurring income. And then we have to address the adjustments in the tax return that differentiate taxable income from qualifying income. Adjustments like, for example, depreciation. Depreciation is a paper expense. We're going to add it back. Depletion. Depletion is like a startup expense, the same as amortization. We're not talking about the amortization on your loan. We're talking about the amortization of the startup expense. They call it amortization. So those are some of the adjustments that can be included. Mileage depreciation also is another qualifying income item that can be added back, right? We eliminate it to get to the taxable income, but then we add it back to get to the qualifying income. So important points to consider when analyzing these documents are look for declining income and a loss for the year and determine if that's a one-time event or recurring. How do you determine that? Letter from the accountant usually is the best way with some nice detailed explanation. Be aware that mortgage notes and bonds. Now here, you know, I'm getting into the theory here so you know what you're looking at when you're looking at the documents, right? So take note that mortgage notes and bonds payable in less than 1 year are large debts payable this fiscal year. That means payable in less than 1 year. And they will need to be subtracted from the income. So when you're looking at the business tax return and you see these notes, mortgage notes and bonds payable in less than 1 year, and it equals, let's say, $40,000, you're going to have to deduct that $40,000 from the net income. Unless you have documentation to show that that debt will roll over or that the business has the liquidity to cover the payment. So that would either be through a liquidity test that you do. That's a separate calculator, a liquidity calculator to show the business has the assets to cover that debt. Or you would be able to show, for example, if the debt is a line of credit, a HELOC, that is normally paid down and then charged back up, paid down, charged back up. If you can show that type of pattern, then that would not have to be considered either. So either liquidity or an item that will roll over. So if you do have a recurring loss or income, then are the losses a paper carryover or losses due to a decline in business? Paper carryover would be you had the loss 5 years ago, but they let you carry over a certain amount per year for tax benefits. That's a carryover loss. That's not a real loss. You could trace that back all the way back to the original loss with a letter from the accountant and not include that loss. But if it's an actual decline in business, then that's a different story. So business returns must show, like we're talking about, adequate liquidity, right? You have to have the money to keep paying those distributions. And that's why the last bullet point reviews Schedule K-1 for history of distributions. And you'll know what I mean by that in a minute, because I'm going to show you the K-1. But the issue is, if the borrower is declaring income but not taking distributions, you definitely will want to use Freddie Mac guidelines for that borrower and not Fannie Mae. And I'll show you in a minute why. Because here we have our sample K-1. Now, what are we talking about here? Line number one, ordinary business income. Line number 16D is in David, distribution. So here they're pretty similar. But I've seen cases of ordinary income of $100,000, distributions of $20,000. And you can see from the bullet points there, Fannie Mae guidelines state that if the distributions is lower than ordinary income, then you have to use the distributions as the income figure. However, Freddie Mac guidelines state that if the distributions is lower than the ordinary income, right, which in this case it happens to be, right, but the business has liquidity, in other words, assets are greater than liability, then you can use the higher ordinary income amount reported. So in an extreme example, ordinary income $100,000, distributions $30,000. Fannie Mae, you got to use $30,000 because the distributions was lower than the ordinary income. Freddie Mac, if you run the liquidity test, and it shows that the business has liquidity, in other words, assets greater than liabilities, then your business has liquidity, and then you can use the $100,000 ordinary income reported to enter into your worksheet. So let me show you here the worksheet, and then I'm going to show you the actual worksheet in a minute. I'm going to click on over, but make sure to use either Freddie Mac Form 91 or Fannie Mae Form 1084 for all your income calculations, right? You have to include that with your file. So let me find that form right here, and let me make it a little bit bigger. Now, this is our Form 91. So now, make that actually a little bit bigger here. So you will note here it says W-2 income. That's W-2 income from self-employment. So you would not put there W-2 income that actually comes from a W-2 job if they happen to have a separate full-time regular job aside from their self-employment. On this form, W-2 is from self-employment. In other words, they're paying themselves that W-2. Schedule B, interest and ordinary dividends. This is obviously business related. And notice it's even telling you a line number, line one, line five. So if the business has these, is getting interest and dividends from assets that the business owns in the business name, then that would be applicable here. Schedule C, this is their regular Schedule C. They could have multiple Schedule Cs. Notice we have net profit or loss right here. Notice non-recurring. Remember that phrase I was talking about? Non-recurring income or loss right here. Depletion. Remember I mentioned what depletion is. There actually has to be a schedule, a statement on their tax return. And this statement actually has to say depletion, or it has to say amortization. We already have one that says depreciation. Now we're talking here meals and entertainment. The reason meals entertainment is put on here is because the borrower is only deducting 50% of the amount. That means that the other 50% is still an expense to them. So that gets added here and that gets deducted from their income. And here's what I was talking about, amortization. Amortization, you see there's a plus. It gets added back to their qualifying income. Depreciation, also a plus, gets added back. Depletion is a plus, gets added back. This will be a plus or a minus depending on if it's a non-recurring income or non-recurring loss or expense. The same here, net profit or loss. Business use of the home. And this is on a line in the Schedule C, line 30, pretty easy to find. Business miles on page 2 of the Schedule C, or could be in form 4562, line 30. Business miles times the depreciation rate. This is the mileage depreciation that you add back. So that's another add back to get your true qualifying income. So this is Schedule C for business one. If there's another schedule, another business two. Capital gains or losses, again, business related. Now this Schedule E1, this is not the rental income Schedule E. This is royalties. For rental income, Schedule E, there's a separate form for that. Schedule F, process or loss from farming. Again, you'll note all the line numbers all here. Then if they have a partnership, then there would be a form 1065 that's going to have a K-1. The ordinary business income we were talking about, there's line 1. And guaranteed payments, net rental income or loss. That's all right here. Subtotal from K-1. Now, this partnership income from IRS Form 1065, if there is a partnership, then you would get the 1065 report and just extract the information from the different lines. Depreciation line 16C is in CAT. Another depreciation here, Form 80, if it's on Form 8825, which is for real estate. Depletion, amortization, mortgage, notes, bonds, payable in less than 1 year. It even tells you where to go. Schedule L, line 16D, as in David. Other non-recurring income or loss, again, telling you what lines to go. Travel and entertainment exclusion, telling you go to Schedule M1, line 4B. And then multiply times percentage of ownership to get their proportionate share of the income, assuming if they have a 1065, they have at least one partner. If you have an S-Corp, this is for the 1120, line 1, lines 2 and 3, subtotal, and this is from the K-1 of the form, and then this is the actual 1120. Again, pretty easy stuff. Just go to the right line of the correct form and put the information here. Again, mortgage, notes, bonds, payable, less than 1 year. We covered that. Travel and entertainment exclusion, other non-recurring income or loss. All the things that we covered. Multiply times their proportionate share to get the adjustment. And then, depending what's applicable, they may have an S-Corp, they may have partnerships, they may have a Schedule C. Everything may be applicable. Right? This is if it's a C-Corp. Remember, they got to be 100% owner of all the stock on the C-Corp to use the income or any losses. And then over here, you have all of your subtotals from all the different categories. They give it to us here and then combined total income right here. And then you can play with it to see if you want 1 year or if you want 2 years, print, save the form, And that's pretty much it. Pretty self-explanatory in the form. Just got to know which line number to go to. And let me show you the Schedule E income calculator. Is this one right here. It's pretty basic stuff. Rents, insurance. One thing I wanted to make note about this form, you only add back taxes and insurance if they're getting escrowed and already getting paid for in the monthly payment. Otherwise, if they're not escrowing for taxes and insurance, you do not put them here in the insurance and tax section. This is just for stuff already getting paid for, getting added back like tax and insurance, or for depreciation, that's a paper loss, or mortgage interest, which you pay in the monthly payment. So we're not going to count that twice. So let's see if we have any questions.
Don't see anything. Anybody have any questions? This is definitely very complicated. Make sure you fill out the full form there.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was having some trouble getting my camera working. All right, yeah, I don't see any questions. So let's go ahead and wrap it up. Remember, we do this every Tuesday. Oh, no, wait, no. There's no question. All right. Remember, we do this every Tuesday and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, where we go through a new loan officer training topic. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we will see you tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the next episode of the Loan Officer Training Series with the Mortgage Calculator. Have a great night, everyone.
Loan officers, join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.